This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yes, you can do it the way you want to do it. Be who you are, any way you are. We're celebrating today. We're doing it our way on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on the Island of Long with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Chris, I see you bopping around over there. How you doing? Yes, no, make your voice work, please. Yeah.
Doing very well. This is the show where we do what we want, and if I want to turn on the microphone, I will turn it on when I want to. You don't have to hear me.
Proven by the way you did. Yes, very good, very good. So we're here once again, Motormouth Radio. We are coming off a big week, a lot of stuff going on, and hopefully a lot of good things more to happen. And car shows are winding down, but they're still going on. There's still things happening out there.
I'm assuming the month of October, the end of September and October, good time to be out there because it's always warm at the right times. And I always liked when you were out in the fall at a car show because it would start to get cold and then that would be the cue to leave. All right, guys, got to go.
Yeah.
I'm on my sixth sweatshirt. I got to get out of here.
Right.
And the car always drove better going home. I always found that.
Yeah.
Because it was always a little cooler, a little crisper. The car didn't tend to overheat at the time. It was always nice getting out of the car show on a fall day. It was always very cool. So, yeah, I think this is the right time for car shows, even though it is winding down. And we've seen car shows in the past go as late as December, like the first week of December. I remember seeing car shows advertised for that time, and I'm like, you guys got guts.
There have been a couple. The ones that I was aware of back in the day usually had some sort of a Christmas theme or a holiday theme. They were raising, collecting toys and food, maybe for the food charities, food pantries, or whatever. But now, the way the seasons have shifted is the big thing. And up here in the Northeast, well, us in the southern Northeast from where you are, because you're above the line. You're above that line.
I'm above the sound.
Screw everything. The shows have shifted. We go more into the fall. But what hasn't shifted is our telephonic communicator light. Ooh. So let's go to this phone and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How you doing today?
Hey, Skip. How are you?
What's up, Skip?
Hey, Chris, how are you today?
Doing well, my brother. How are you?
Good. Well, I could be better, to tell you the truth. It's one of those things where, when things go wrong, they come in threes. Started yesterday, the central air in the house went out. And it's a lovely thing down here. You call people, and they say they're going to get back to you, and they're going to put you on the schedule. And I called three times yesterday and again this morning, and nobody's here yet. So we had a wonderful night with ceiling fans and Florida weather. But I'm taking a break because I'm in the process of putting a window air conditioner in my second bedroom, which was planned all along for when we have hurricanes and stuff because I have the generator for certain rooms, and that's one of the rooms I have powered up. So we will have air conditioning if this storm coming next week hits us and we lose power.
Well, you can always go out and sit in one of the cars that has AC, right? Because that's...
Well, that's another option. And, yeah. And my granddaughter last night came up with a great idea that, you know, duh, one of those moments, she says, well, why don't you just go down the road and check into a hotel for the night? I said, because I wasn't smart enough to think of that.
Yeah, very good, very good.
Well, I wanted to touch base with you on that ceramic coating and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the show last week, I'm afraid, because my daughter and son-in-law were down here. But the ceramic coating I just had done on the Nomad, and he started the Corvette, and he had to stop, and he'll be back Wednesday, depending on the storm. But he did a real good cut and buff first, which is the basis for anything, and used the light and the minutious little scratches and swirl marks that I never knew were there that he got out to perfection. So it just looks like a puddle of paint now. It's just like it's never been that good, the Nomad, in the 18 years that the paint's been on the car.
Yeah, yeah.
But once he cut and buffed it, I thought it was night and day, and I thought it was done, and I was happy.
Yeah.
But then he ceramic coated it. And when I tell you the resilience and shine, the depth of shine from that is, I've never seen anything like it other than a freshly painted, clear-coated car.
Well, that's what I was asking Elliot last week, because my own car is freshly painted, and the paint is very flat. It is nice and, you know, there's no discontinuous waves or anything. And I said, can you just put that on, you know, on paint like that? And he wasn't sure. So
I can ask the detailer when he comes back about that to see what his input is on that. But I know also, when he did the Corvette, now the Corvette, when he started doing that, that car was just painted a year or so ago, and the paint on it looks flawless. And again, you put the light on it, and you'd be surprised at the stuff you see in this paint.
Yeah.
And the big thing was, on the Corvette, on the body line, like along the fender and the door and the quarter panel, and then it drops to a flat edge, a flat panel, pretty much. And those flat panels, I said it was probably because the guy was standing up, bending over, trying to buff them out. They weren't done to the perfection that the upper part of the car was done.
Okay.
So yeah, he spent like 4 hours on those lower sections just trying to buff and cut them to get those imperfections in the paint out,
mm-hmm,
which I never saw, because with it on the angle and everything and yes, the way the light hits it, you just don't see it unless you're right up against it, I guess, on a stool or something.
Right, right.
But as I looked into this further, I found, and I have heard of before, 303 makes a product called graphene.
Yeah.
I got the graphene tire shine, and we put that on the car, and it's amazing. One coat on it, and it's like a flat coating on it. If you want more, you put more on, you can get a deeper shine, however you want to go with it. But the graphene they also have as a coating, like a ceramic coating, and of course they say the graphene is better than ceramics. It's warranted for like 4 years. But that's the other thing. I was talking to the guy, and even the ceramic coating, he says he puts you on like a 6 month schedule to come back just to keep it you know, where it should be. And I said, but you know, this is a car that's a show car. It's indoors. It stays in the garage. The only times it's out in the elements is at a show or something, or if I go for a cruise. I said, so I don't see where I've got, you know, acid rain, and I don't have all of that other abuse that a regular daily driver would have if you ceramic coated.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, so, yeah, you wouldn't need the 6 months, maybe a year or so, but, you know, you'll probably get at least a good 4 to 6 years out of this ceramic coating under those conditions.
Sure. You know, I just watched the video last night from, let me remember, it's one of the channels on YouTube. I think it's Chris Fix, and he did 5 or 6 different products to do plastic, to coat the plastic on it, basically on newer cars.
And three, okay, because I use some stuff on the Chrysler on the plastic trim on stuff on that.
Yeah, I do too. And he didn't do the one that I use, a Lucas product that I have very, very good success with. He didn't cover that, but he did cover 303, and he did cover that that other one, the glassine, whatever the heck it was that you said, the variant.
Graphene,
yeah. He did. So that was interesting. You know, you can go check that on YouTube. It's Chris Fix. He does a lot of stuff like that, where he does a lot of those comparisons. So, yeah, just something that got me thinking about it, because I've heard a lot of, Chris, have you Does that come across your wheelhouse, the ceramic stuff, the ceramic coating?
Not really. I'm very intrigued listening to this as far as what the, I know it's basically like Skip says, it's a wash on, wash off type of process.
And, no, well, this isn't, Chris. With the more. Well, when they do the ceramic coating, now I was told this when I was researching the ceramic stuff. You can buy ceramic sprays. They're a dime a dozen. I even bought
some. Right. That's what I was thinking of, Skip.
Okay. All the reading I did on that, they said if you're buying a ceramic spray, it's not really a ceramic coating. Mm-hmm. The ceramic coating that he uses is in like a little bottle, like the size of a pill bottle, and it's a liquid. And it must be highly concentrated. He puts it on a little microfiber pad, and he actually just wipes it down the surface of the car. It's got a little flash time, and then he buffs it off with a clean microfiber.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. And then you can top coat it or do it with a detailer, a spray detailer. And I had some Meguiar's. He says, yeah, that's really good. But the biggest things he pushed was, first of all, any California dusters, throw them in the garbage. Don't let them go near your car.
Oh, Chris did that years ago. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, he said, just get rid of them. Don't even think about them. And if you're using microfibers, use a good microfiber.
Uh-huh.
Use a microfiber cloth that is an edgeless cloth and no stickers on it and stuff.
Yeah.
Have dedicated microfibers for different types of top coats and/or. And use the ceramic, microfiber cleaner. I bought a gallon of that to clean the microfibers now. But he said, if you go out and your car is like in the garage and it's got a light coat of dust on it, don't go near it with a dry microfiber.
Mm-hmm.
Take your spray, whether it be a Meguiar's or whatever, and he sprayed it on like he was shooting a hose on the car. That's how much he put on. He said, you need a good coating between the cloth and the car so you don't put any more little scratches in it. And you wipe it down to get it to where it is, and then you take another fresh microfiber and you take the haze off.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you do that, you won't have any issues at all. So it's now become a real labor of love to take care of it the way it is. You know, I thought I was saving myself problems, and I'd be able to just, you know, now with the ceramic coating, I could probably just about, you know, hit it with a hammer, but not the case. Making more work for this old body. So
yeah, our buddy Al said he uses a product called Adams Ceramic. He said he uses it on his truck, and after a year, he has beautiful water beading patterns.
So, yeah, yeah.
As far as
it's hygroscopic.
Yeah, as far as the microfibers go, I mean, we all know Harbor Freight sells them, but I see at the shop, since the shop is primarily a body shop, they buy microfiber rags in bulk, and they're really nice. They're thick. They're quilted. It's almost like a real thick washcloth.
Almost like a towel.
Yeah, very, very much so.
I was saying, and he gave me, it was like $480. And it had some letter designation. I'm having a brain fart right now, exactly. He says, you got to get at least a 480, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And that or better. And that's the thicker. And he says, one side of the cloth you'll look at, it'll have like a nappier side, and the other side might be a little tighter weave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right, yeah.
And he says, those are the ones you got to use. And actually, he told me he was going to go to his place where he gets them. He gets them wholesale. And he gets a package of, I don't know, a half a dozen or something for like $12. And he's going to pick me up a couple packages the next time he goes.
Beautiful.
So new technology, you know, giving you new issues and new conundrums, I guess. But it's in the long run, I think, especially with if you have your car out and you have that acid rain and everything, you need something to protect it, even the top coat now, you know. So
that's true.
They're fighting against it to do it properly, and I hope with it, maybe the graphene is better than ceramics. I don't know. I'm sure time will tell.
Yeah.
I just got the spray graphene stuff. I didn't get the bottle. The bottle was like $84, and the spray was like $24. So I opted for the spray because I'm just going to do that like on the White Nomad. I'm just going to wash it, clean it. I'm not going to cut and buff it. And I'm just going to put a coating on it and see if I can't protect it with that because, you know, it's not a phenomenal paint job.
Right.
But we'll see. I'll try it on a car that's, you know, older paint, and we'll see with the cut and buff and the proper way of detailing it, if there are any differences, you know. So
very good. All right, Skip. Well, thanks for the info, and good luck with the AC.
Thank you so much, and we'll be in touch.
All right, talk to you soon.
Thanks, Skip.
Bye bye. All right. That is the hot topic these days, Chris. Everybody's using that ceramic stuff. Like I said, Chris Fix had like 8 or 10 products, and I know he didn't cover them all because, you know, there's others out there. So anyway.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of them, and I'm the reason why I'm not as knowledgeable on the subject is I'm still waxing my car. And mind you,
right,
I haven't waxed the Chrysler since I've had it.
Yeah.
I still have to wet sand the silly thing.
There's a lot of wet sand in, right?
Get all the imperfections out of the paint job that's already on the car. So when you look at that ceramic technique, that is way beyond my realm of thought because I don't have a car worthy of it. Because right. I always think the way you do, Ray, the second I get this car ceramic coated in any sort of way, I'm going to pull it into the garage and a quart of paint is going to fly off a shelf and hit my hood.
I know.
Something is going to fall. Gravity will take over. So I just don't even, I can't. I cannot. I would much rather use the car than kind of worry about the super duper glossy finish on it. And that's, I know it's a protectant as well. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah.
I don't think it could withstand some of the stupidity that I have sitting around the garage. I mean, I'm the guy that leaves a dent in the car just because now there's a dent in the car.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There'll never be another one.
No, the other thing is, with your car, you have an old paint job. That's older, hardened, seasoned paint. You know, it's not the same as a newer job. So there's different considerations and whatever. And like, in your case, you know, you may never be able to get that car to look like a new paint job just because of age and wear. But you know what? So that's it. You're happy with what you have, and that's what you deal with. And you're better off for it. And Brian says, you know, so it's all too much work. Just keep the rat rod looking. I've been with him for years on that one.
I tell you, I have been so glad that the rat rod look is taking shape and has become popular. Because, I mean, even if when I watch Jay Leno, he's got cars that are not perfect. They're perfect to me mm-hmm. when you see them.
Yeah.
But there he is. He's on his $250,000 Mercedes SL that's got paint flying off it, the red one. And he goes and jumps on the fender and sits there and says, yeah, I can conduct business at the car show right from here. And I'm like, dude, I want to be you.
It's funny. I was watching Sam's Garage yesterday, Sam Adavi, a friend of ours, and he was doing the low car show and whatnot, and it was a car that was rat rodish, and Sam asked him about it, and the guy says, you know, it didn't start out that way. He goes, I didn't start out to build a rat rod, but that's kind of what happened after I dropped it, airbagged it. He goes, things started falling into shape. He says, and I just let the car guide me as to where it was going to go.
Okay.
And, I said, okay, because some of the stuff I've seen, even on a local level, guys have taken it to a level where they're, now it's almost like who can top the next guy for outlandishness as far as rat rods go. And now it's getting to be a caricature of itself, the whole genre.
Yeah, good point.
You know?
Well, it's just like everything else that car guys do. There's always going to be one or two of them that's going to go overboard, and everyone else is going to follow suit.
Exactly.
I just don't. I don't have the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
So I would much rather jump on the hood of my car and just conduct business from there.
You know, it's like funny. There's, you know, outside the studio, we have on the road motorcycle training. They do in the parking lot. They do the motorcycle training course for people. And I know a couple of the guys. We know the guy who owns the company. He's been on the show a couple times, Steve Bertolini. But I know some of the trainers. I've spoke to them outside and whatnot. And there's one guy, he looks like Aaron Kaufman, got the big beard and all, and he always wears the floppy mm-hmm. hacks. It's been hot. And he, every time I pull in, he just, oh, his head always jerks up, and he's waving. He's like, dude, I love it. He goes, it's always a different car. He goes, I love the collection. I was like, you love my collection? Like, a man with low taste, with low expectation. Right. I like that. Yeah.
Exactly. He has a low bar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So. No, I totally understand it. It's the truth. And it is nice, though. And I must admit, you get a lot of compliments on your car. I know you do. And your car is definitely is as perfect as I've ever seen it. And we're still waiting for that day that you get that first scratch, first dent, first dent. And it's not like you're putting the kibosh. You're not putting the horns on the car at all. It's complete opposite. It's, you know, the inevitable is going to happen because you use it. It's so much easier to put a cover over it, put it in the garage, and never touch it. Of course, it'll never get scratched that way, unless it's in my garage, too. It'll get scratched by sitting there with just a cover over it, because that's the way my garage is. Stuff goes flying around when I close the garage door.
You forget, though, that I've already had my first and second incidents in my own garage.
Yeah, right.
The first day I brought the car home, I had the door open, and I heard a noise, and there was a squirrel in the garage. Squirrels never go in the garage. And I got pictures of him. I have pictures of him on my compressor. He ran back. He was in the back in the fan, jumping across my car. And he did something that put a chip in the fender the first day it was back.
Oh,
and I said,
gosh.
Okay, fair. We got it out of the way. And then last year, I think it was, I had the garage door open. I was you know, drinking some coffee, reading a magazine. And it was windy. And I have papers that are held on the inside of the garage door with magnets, strong magnets. Well, one of them let go and hit the fender and put two chips in the fender. So under the car cover, you know, and of course I said, of course, I don't even have to leave. So I knew I could take the car to Roosevelt Field or any mall in America and park it and walk away from it, and I'm safe. Because I get chips in my own garage. So, and since then I have touched up the little paint chips. I had a little paint, and I said, you know what? This can't be the end of your world. You can't let this can't.
Right.
You can't.
But my point is, it's a losing battle.
Basically, it's a losing battle.
Yep. That's my point.
It's a lost-sum game.
Right. It's so sad. It's never if. It's always when. And I can understand if we lived in the middle of Texas or if we lived in the middle of Oklahoma where there's nothing but tumbleweeds and cactus, how the car can pretty much stay intact. But we live in quite a populated area. And of course we have, I think nature is our worst enemy up here over any knuckleheaded driver sometimes. And yeah, it's an amazing thing. That's why I'm finding the benefit of driving an old beater back and forth and not worrying about it is to me the clear-headest way of describing it.
I've always said that.
The most clear-headed way of going back and forth.
Without a doubt, carefree.
And yeah, I mean, if you look at the 300 in the garage, the top of the bumpers are rusty, the paint is starting to get like acne on the trunk. These little tiny dots are starting to appear from under the paint. The paint job was bad to begin with, I think. So I'm going to, my wet sanding it is pretty much going to try and save whatever is there compared to, I'm not going to ruin anything, that's for sure. But I mean, it's got those characteristics, those traits, those part of making it a 55-year-old vehicle that or 53-year-old vehicle, which to me is part of its charm.
Right.
And you know what? I still get people pulling up to me and going, wow, you got that thing running. You know, it's I think when a car is in that condition, it's almost more approachable.
Oh, without a doubt.
When the car is like super duper mint and glossy, people are almost like, nah, you're royalty. I cannot walk over and talk to you.
You know, that's the funny thing on to tie in the other thing. We had the 8th anniversary of Playing in Traffic. We celebrated it Thursday night.
Yeah, it was fun.
You can go to YouTube and see that. It's up there. But we had Dina Parisi on, and she, among many others. But Dina was recounting some stories on how when they would take their cars out to shows, how people are boobs and just thinking because those cars were on display, they were to be touched and played with and sat on. And I reminded her when they did the toucher truck over here at the Eisenhower Park, there were kids all over it. They were like batting them off. But then they did New York, Good Morning America, and Greg Kelly wants to get in her car. You know, her car was fit for her. And Dina's
Greg
like,
Kelly was big guy.
And Dina's like 5 foot. One or two, whatever she is,
yeah.
You know, she's small, and he wanted to get in the car and kind of, you know, and they had to tell him, don't, dude, you're not getting in that car.
No, you can't put 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag. You can't do it.
So we had a good time. That was, but yeah, you know, she said that it's the same thing. That's why they kind of stopped doing those kind of events, because the general public doesn't understand. You know, you and I saw that at one of the shows we were at. It was probably the county show years ago at Eisenhower. Yeah. Remember there was a woman had some kids, and the kids were just jumping in this 57 Chevy. It was a yellow 57 that was raised. I remember that. And I thought, wow, that must be the family car, the father. No, it wasn't their car. It was somebody else's car. And these kids were just thinking they could just jump in, you know, because it was there.
Like it's a playground, like it's a jungle gym.
And the kids, I don't fault the kids, but the parent was standing there letting them do this. Right. So she was Ubats too, thinking, oh yeah, well these are all for the kids to play on. What a nice little display, you moron.
Yeah. Oh, I've
told Vic come up behind you with a bat, you know.
Exactly, yeah, with a nail in it. Yeah. That's an attention getter. used to happen when many, many years ago I worked for Ava Franchi and the Sergio Franchi Foundation. And we used to take Sergio Franchi's classic cars and put them out on the lawn. And people would come over, open the door, and slam them. I'm like, what are you doing? Get away. I spent most of my time batting people away from the cars.
Yeah.
Because they would start manhandling the vehicles. I'm like, are you out of your mind? We had to rope them off after a while.
Sure.
Just because this was over... Yeah, I hate to think 20 plus years ago.
That's an old story because I haven't heard about that one in a long time. So that's got to be dated.
Yeah, it sure was. But yeah, that's why I said, you know what?
20 years you've been doing this.
Yeah,
you weren't out at any car shows on a Sunday.
Don't remind me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's incredible to think about it, and that's why I kind of like rolled over on the whole subject. I would spend my afternoons shining my car up and then spend the next afternoon shining it again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think I've waxed the car now. I can't tell you how long, but I got cans and cans of wax.
Yeah.
Some cans of wax I think are about 30, 40 years old.
And some Simon Eyes. I know you got those Simon Eyes cans.
Yeah. Now you know what I use them for? I swear, I use them for headlight glass.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I've been using them for.
You know, that's what Billy G did. He sent me a picture a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about cleaning headlights, and he was a picture of a can of Simon Eyes and the headlights on his Nova. Like, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I've actually been looking at trying to save paint that where the clear coat has flown off it, you know, especially a lot of silver cars, a lot of white cars, where the silver paint, the clear coat on the silver, for some reason, doesn't seem to hold up.
Sure.
And it turns into this smoky, kind of cloudy look. And, of course, it's very rough. It's not smooth because the clear coat is disintegrating.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at researching how to repair those things. And there's really no easy way to do it. There's no magic elixir. It involves sanding and
re-clear coating.
Re-clear coating, yeah.
Right.
So because I have that tracker now where I would say almost every panel has got some sort of weak clear coat surface, I'm going to use that car as like my rolling laboratory for clear coat repair.
I just saw something this morning on TV. I was watching, I think it was Two Guys Garage, and they were talking about oils, but they did a commercial, Duplicolor, a company. We had the Duplicolor women on the show a few years ago, and I've been using their products. In fact, one of the last posts I put up was the underbelly shields on the FJ.
Good job. I saw it on Instagram. Very nice. Real underscored Motormouth Radio. Very well done.
Right. Now, that product I used is Duplicolor, and it's a, they don't call it a rust encapsulator. Let me find it here. It's made to paint right over a rusty surface, which is nice.
That's bold. Come on.
It's called Rust Barrier is the name of it.
It's like painting over sand.
Pour 15 is the same thing. You can put it right over rust and it encapsulates it. And there are other rust encapsulators. So what I did is I took those pans, I threw them in the bead blaster to get most of the heavy stuff off them.
Right.
The second which is the one in the front of the vehicle, is heavier and it's got multi pieces in it. It was harder to clean, but I scraped it and cleaned it as best. And I said, you know what? I'm going to leave some of the rust. And this stuff, you got to do like at least three coats. One light coat, and they want 15 minutes in between coats. And then it's like two medium. I did like three medium coats. And then it'll start, it's a little translucent, so it starts to blend in and cover well. And it doesn't. I want to see how it's going to do under a vehicle, because that's the first time. Right. Now, I've done my brake caliper brackets with that stuff, and I've done I've done other components with it. But I just saw today, Duple Color has another line of clears, and there were three of them. One was like a satin, one was a semi-gloss, and the other one was a glossy. Now, I've used the gloss clears to top coat some of the paint I've done.
Sure, definitely. Gloss clear.
But now, but look into Duple Color, because they have three new clears for any application, be it matte, semi-gloss, or high gloss.
Looking at those skid plates that you did for the Toyota, they look brand new in the pictures. I actually thought for a split second, I was like, wow, you're replacing them. No, you refabbed the ones you had.
And that's...
Which, that's awesome.
Well, that's the thing. That's what we do. You know, we will always try to fix something or bring it back to life instead of replacing it. Because, hey, if you had to buy them, they are expensive. So who wants to spend a lot of money on something like that? Meanwhile, they can be repaired. They can be brought back to life with the right products and stuff like this.
That's why we do this.
That's exactly why we do this. And that's why we come on the radio and talk about it, to share the information with other people. The other information I want to share is the weather. I'm looking outside and
What are you seeing out of the WHPC weather window, Ray?
A tree. No, it's actually, it's cloudy. It's only about 69 degrees, and it's we got the chance of some rain today. It's going to be cloudy tonight, scattered thunderstorms, low 61, and into tomorrow, we're going to have some more.
Same thing in the Connecticut area, just minus about 10 degrees.
Right. So I'm lucky I got the pool closed yesterday. I finally got that job out of the way. That thing is done and closed. We hate to close it because we hate to see. You like to look out and see the water. It's nice, you know. Mm-hmm. It is nice. It's a summertime thing. And when you close it, now you look at this big black cover. But the thing I do like is being able to shut off that filter, you know, and taking that offline, because now that's not the electricity that's going out the window.
Oh, I'm sure that was probably a joy to see how much that was costing you per month.
And it's not even really, you know what? Years ago I did a cost analysis on it, and it wasn't as bad. Well, now since then I've had different filters. You change, I mean, you know, they go bad over the years, and the newer ones are more. They even now I don't have one of these, but they have one that's a variable vane where the filter will vary. It's like a variable fuel pump. It'll vary the speed of the flow of the water based on need. So it knows, I don't know what metric it bases it on. I know how a fuel pump does it. I don't know how the filter does.
We should talk about cars before our listeners revolt on us.
Well, we will. But first, I want to tell you this. It's the bottom of the hour, so we have some business to take care of.
Oh, yes, that's right. And bottom of the hour business.
If you don't like the paint job or the electric bill or the weather, tune into Jewish Talk Sundays at 8 a.m.
Because
Rabbi Pearl thinks in Jewish but speaks in English. He features talk about issues affecting the Jewish community. My chiropractor listens to Rabbi Pearl, even though he has his own rabbi. And I'll go in there on a Sunday and he'll say, hey, you know what the rabbi said today? I'm like, which one? And then he'll tell me, yeah, Rabbi Pearl had a good... So now I have to ask my other rabbi, do we have an honor group of the hour?
Us, yes, of course, and to all the rabbis, Happy New Year, of course, yes, we do. That's the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, like we do every bottom of the hour here on this fine, upstanding program that your parents don't want you to listen to because they know that you will end up poking your eye out. But this week, even though you have somewhat advanced automotive prowess, and if you listen to this show, you do. The one thing your wife has over you and is unsurpassed in operating better than you is the ability to open and close a sunroof. Ah, on a cool, crisp fall afternoon, wouldn't opening up a sunroof be a good idea? But doesn't she bat your hand away from the controls when you go to reach for them? Doesn't she say how you don't have the mental capacity to correctly operate such a complicated piece of machinery and how the multifunction button, which handles all the different actuations, has the propensity to baffle and confuse you? Doesn't she possess the process to know exactly where to place the roof? She knows exactly where to put it, either the vent mode or in the full or partial rollback mode, where the right amount of cool breezes are obtained. Well, if you know the difference between a sunroof, a moonroof, and a panoramic sunroof, but you're not allowed to run any of them in your car because your wife says so, then you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Yeah, I think I know whose house this pertains to. All right, so with that, we're gonna rock with the Outlaws a little more. We're gonna think about that nice field and the water and, you know, the song. It's that 9-minute one. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, right after this. So keep it where you got it. Feel free to join in like the Outlaws did.
Your soul is always free. Silver stages, golden curtains filled by it, played as could be. As a rainbow grew around the sun, all my stars above, and I came from somewhere beyond the sea.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
90.3 WHPC wants to remind students at Nassau Community College that college-wide scholarships are available. The application is available online at ncc.edu/scholarships. The deadline to apply is Wednesday, October 19th. Both full and part-time students can apply. Not all scholarships require financial need. You may apply for more than one scholarship. More details are available by email. scholarships@ncc.edu.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here. Everybody on a Sunday, work on your car and listen to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you.
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes.
Motor Mouth!
Hey, I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks.
He was under a car or under somebody else's car.
I wanted to commend you on your selection of music.
Motor Mouth!
Cars are for driving, not for eating it.
Even if Ray is talking to Chris on the phone,
Motor Mouth!
In the same room, I'm doing my show.
Get some advice on getting my lawnmower to start up.
Our trained staff of two will help.
And typically, we don't work on that kind of car.
Yeah, I was going to call in, and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Every Sunday, 12 o'clock, my phone goes, Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Nobody knows your car's like you.
Ray was here early, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays.
And what do you have, like 9 people listening to you right now?
Motor Mouth!
Millions of listeners, 9 paying attention.
Hush your mouth and play some more good music.
You just went for 2+ hours on Thursday talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a motor mouth, my friend.
I am a motor mouth.
Let's face it.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones. And we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
You might learn how to play a mean guitar if you listen to these guys. Oh! One of the standard classics of Southern rock was that quick guitar break, Chris. They always used dueling guitars and always had those quick, sharp breaks that you really had to be on your game to play. That is the Outlaws. Love it. Anyway, we're back. Motor Mouth Radio, 516-572-7440. Of course, follow us on social media, Motor Mouth Radio on the web, on Twitter and on Facebook, and Real_Motor Mouth Radio on Instagram, where I love to put stuff. And I see we have a flashy thing.
Go.
So let's
do it.
Let's do this and this and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's Joe.
Hi, Joe. How are you? What's up?
What's up, Joe? How you been, brother?
Yeah, doing fine. But you're talking about the Honor Group of the Hour. You brought up a funny story.
Sure.
It years always back, does.
Yeah. Years back, I had carpooled with a good friend of mine. And one day I locked my keys in the car. Have to do the coat hanger routine.
Ah, boy.
Right.
I put my coffee on top of the roof of the car.
coat hanger, the door locked, managed to get back in, starting to open up the side windows. My friend, she sits in the car, says, yeah, it's really hot. Maybe if we do this, and she hits the roof button.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Oh, splash.
Yeah, well, it's a perfectly good cup of coffee.
Oh, no.
In both of your laps.
No, it was all on her.
Oh, it was all on really? Her. Okay, well, that's okay then.
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny.
How did you get the coffee smell out of the car? Because it probably is always going to smell like coffee now.
Yeah, well, most of it was on her, so I just had to take her home to get changed.
Or if it's anything like the girls in my house, it would really smell more like some kind of French vanilla creamer.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah, regular coffee, just I think it was black with sugar. But anyhow, it was also a leather seat, so it really didn't. It just went down to the carpet level.
Oh, boy.
Got it. So it wasn't as... didn't smell, it wasn't as permeating as it could have been.
Have you ever had any sunroof accidents, Chris?
No. The only accident I've ever had was in a Subaru one time where I just came out of I went over to a hardware store and I came out into the parking lot and something must have hit the glass on the Subaru because it literally put a star right on the glass.
Oh,
and that
wow.
was really... Yeah, that's really been the only, other than leaks in my Riviera sunroof where I had to go take the pipe cleaners and send them down the tubes.
That's common.
That was really...
I had a problem with the sunroof, too. It was in an Audi 5000. It didn't work.
in an Audi. What a surprise.
But I rebuilt the whole damn thing and did make it work. So anyway, yeah, that's Joe, that's a good reason to forego the sunroof and buy a convertible.
Yes.
Yeah. That and touching on the stuff you were saying before about like with the old clunkers, I'm the type of person, I'm like more utilitarian. So if anything, I'm the type that would actually just put diamond plate on any horizontal surface of the car.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, you know, it'll work.
And you can get aluminum diamond plate, so it saves a little weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If you need to, climb up on the car, do this, do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You can now use the car as scaffolding.
That's what I do with the FJ. Yeah. I was actually thinking about buying one of those rear ladders for it just so I could get up onto the roof when I want to clean. Actually, my daughter got me a half cover. I said there's a Jeep by my house that has, the guy has a lot of times the doors off and whatnot. And he doesn't have the roof on. So it was just a cover that went over the top framework and down the windshield and back window. And that was it. It came like to the top of the door molding. Mm-hmm. And I said, boy, that'd be great because it would keep all the sap and all the crap off the top of the roof. That I have to clean, which is hard. And she found something. It's not elastic. You have to tie it down. So I've yet to use it. We'll see. I'm sure it won't hold up to gale force winds, but I'm going to try that.
Very cool.
Yeah, really, the only problem with walking on the car is that with the age, I've put on a little bit too much weight. I have to watch where I step.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Copy that.
Yeah. When you hear that noise, that dung-dung, you
right.
know you went too far.
Right.
Stay on the edges. Stay on the edges.
Yep.
Don't stand in the middle.
Got it.
Very good true. Stuff, Joe.
Yeah. Have yourself a good day.
All right, Joe. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Be safe.
Right. So long. That's Joe. 516-572-7440. Getting in the phone all this time.
So I did something this week that I love when a plan works out. And this week was a definite worked out plan. I've been looking for that power steering pressure switch for the tracker.
Oh, right.
And I found one at Summit Auto Racing and I ordered it. It was
really?
The cheapest one. It was about $65 and the rest of them, like Tasca Auto, wanted like $90 for it. So I said, let me order it from Summit. Well, I ordered it from Summit and of course it's taking longer and longer for it to be delivered. And it's literally, it's not it, like the first delivery date was like when I ordered it on the 7th of September, we had a delivery date of the 25th today, and then it was October 3rd, then it turned into October 5th. Wow. And I'm like, I'm not waiting a month and a half for this. So I wrote them, and I said, what's going on with this order? And they wrote me back saying, well, it is what it is, sir. And I'm like, oh, you know what?
Oh,
this stinks. I'm not waiting any longer. So I go on eBay, and I find a picture of one. I go to images. I always look at the image of the part first. And I find an image and it takes me to an eBay site where the same exact part goes to a Mazda Protege. So I'm like, well, it may be interchanged. Let me take a look and see if they, if they're the same parts. No, it's not available for my car. But Ray, it's the exact same part. $20, I order it. Some guy must have extra ordered one or whatever have you, and he had it sitting around, so he threw it on eBay. $20, I buy it. I get it. I fit it. It's perfect.
Great, great, great.
A part that came from, and this is something that I've always baffled me, and I know it's out there, and I know you have something along the line of an interchange book, but I would love to see some sort of periodical that knows this information.
No.
I know.
You know who does? Well, that was a power. What do they call it? A power steering valve or
power steering pressure switch. The only thing I could figure is that General Motors bought these power steering pumps from Mazda, or Mazda bought the pumps from GM.
Could be.
One way or another, they're sharing the same pump.
You know, I had a similar situation years ago with the Mazda Protege. It's funny you say that, but it was I'm trying to remember what the valve was. It was on top of the valve cover. It was probably part of the EVAP system, and my interchange system was Joe D. Joe said, hey, listen, we tested some of those at standard, and I think I have one, and because, again, the Mazda part was real expensive, hard to find, nobody had it. Joe flipped me this thing one day and says, here, give this a shot. The only problem was if I mounted it the way it wanted to mount, then the hoses had to be reversed. And if I put the hoses in the right way, I had to mount the thing. So I did something to accommodate that. And you know what? It's in the car right now and it works. And it was like beautiful. It was off some other car that was God knows what.
Joe, there's a gold mine in this information.
Yes.
If you're listening.
Yes.
Yeah, because I couldn't believe it. I'm looking at the part on the picture, and I went, it's the same exact part.
Yeah.
How could this change? And I click on that image, and it took me to this eBay site with this Mazda. It was for a 323.
Did you look at any of the GM parts sites first for that part?
Yeah, they all wanted $100 for it. They all wanted $95 to $100 for it.
Gotcha.
And as I could see, it was going to take 3 to 4 weeks for delivery.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were going to do the same thing. Summit was the only one that I was dealing with.
You know,
so I canceled the order and got the other part, put it in, and it works. Hasn't solved my problem yet, which I can get into, but I see that we may not be getting into that situation right about now.
Yeah, let's see what we got here. We got another call. Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
What's up,
how
Mark?
How's everybody been? Been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
where you been?
I've been listening here and there. I don't want to bother you guys with nonsense for Renaults, but it's not a Renault question.
Oh, we love to hear about the Renault. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, we need a good chuckle.
You know we're going to ask you about it.
Exactly. Anyway, I have a question for you. What is it? 2000 Infiniti i30, about 180,000 miles on it. The car runs great. I keep pulling up this error code, P1320. It's a distributor signal interrupt.
Oh.
Now, I've seen a million videos, and, you know, just I changed this, I've changed that. And they actually, somebody was telling me that the coil pack, they go bad. And they do, okay? And but it ran smooth. So one day, 2 weeks ago, it didn't run smooth anymore, and I had to change a coil pack, one of them. And it ran smooth again. I changed the spark plugs also, by the way. They were kind of
done. Good idea.
They were kind of done. And still pull a damn code up, and I don't know, you know, I can bring it to a place that's going to put it on a $5,000 Snap-on meter and charge me $1 million and still not fix it. Do you guys have any?
Well, I don't.
Been there, right?
Yeah, I don't have first-hand, you know, handshake with that particular thing. But a distributor code, that to me, the first thing I think of is besides the codes, is that's the kind of thing you want to put on a scope. You want to see the pattern is where I'm thinking.
But it doesn't happen all the time. I can reset the computer. Like, okay, last week the inspection is due on this car at the end of the month, and it's not going to pass with the light on. So I reset the code, you know, put it to, you know, took the codes away. I drove it for 50 miles back and forth on the Seaford Oyster Bay Expressway a couple of times.
Right.
And for the day, the light doesn't come on.
Right, right.
You know, so I got inspected, and it passed, and it's done. But, you know, a day or two later,
bink,
the light comes back
on.
And it's just like a little, it's going to be a glitch somewhere that's throwing this code. And, you know.
What's the code number again?
P, as in Peter, 1320.
I just want to see what Dr. Google says about this.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up. You got that at your fingertips. You know, those things like that, that could also be tied to a crank trigger, your crank sensor.
Well, see, this is, I found one video, because everybody else, oh, you have to change the coil pack. One video I saw said could be the camshaft sensor or the two crankshaft sensors.
Sure, sure.
Now, okay, I tested the camshaft sensor because it's on top. I took it out and you know did the old meter test on it, whatever, and it seems fine. Okay, but I can't get to the other two because they're under the car, and I can't lift the car right now the way my condition is.
I just got word in on the disc chronificator. Joe is saying that Nissan has a TSB for redesigned coils for that code.
What is this?
Because I'm also seeing the probable cause could be offhand wiring, ignition coil module, ignition system, a CKP sensor, or the ECM. And they always bring the ECM, the last one.
I would say, Mark, go on by what Joe said. Look for TSBs for that car, that model, and see what you find. And he said there was one for redesigned coils. So look, spend some time on a computer. There's a national TSB site. If you Google it, you'll find it. I don't remember the exact
TSB.
Link.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, technical service bulletin.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, Joe's always...
It just drives me crazy, this damn code.
Yeah, I know.
And it'll a day or two, and all of a sudden, boop.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
Why?
Right. You know? Well, it's like many of your... many of the EVAP codes will do the same thing. If you have if it's an O2 sensor or a CAT, you'll clear it and you'll drive for like a day or two, maybe more, maybe two or three. I've had this happen to myself and then bink, it comes back.
You know, it's funny. When I brought it to my gas station about a month ago, just for the hell of it, he put it on his little meter and it came up with, it did say an oxygen sensor, a second bank. Now, my meter doesn't, my scanner doesn't say that.
Right.
But it said it when the coil pack went bad, one of them.
Uh-huh, okay.
And, you know, but it that went away. It hasn't come back since.
His scanner could have a different level of calibration, could be reading things that yours isn't able to. You know, that's what and that's why guys have the $5,000 scanners, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know.
But you also have a car with 186,000 miles on it, and I'm sure you got 186,000 miles on some of those coils.
They're guaranteed. You know, I mean, Infiniti, I mean, people tell me that, well, you have to get the Infiniti one because the other cheaper versions, they're going to pull a code down the road. They don't last. But I said, you know, forget it. And I bought, the damn thing cost me $90. And it's fine. It hasn't, you know, it hasn't glitched, whatever. And again, the car runs really smooth. Oh, one thing I want to ask you. The that fuel filter stuff, cleaner stuff where you disconnect it from the line and you pull the fuse out so it keep the pump off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is that stuff called?
The seafoam?
No. You run the car off a can of stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I have that stuff at home, and I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. Oh, it smokes.
Yeah.
If you happen to come across it, just I guess text me or email me, whatever.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. Thank you for stumping the band, Mark.
Actually, I do have. I know I have a box that was made by Gunk Radiator Specialties, and I'd ask our good friend Rob Stuck about that because he's still with the company, and he said, "Yeah, you know what? That stuff is great. We don't make it anymore." He goes, "That was my favorite one, and we don't make it anymore." And I know there were other companies that made it, so I'm not sure.
I mean, again, you watch the YouTube videos, and there's a guy hot gluing a little spritz hose into a bigger hose and connecting it to the line. But you know, I think you need more than just a spray can.
Well, a lot of times, what they have you do is they have you pull the power brake booster hose because it's a manifold vacuum hose, and connect to that, and it goes right into the intake, you know, through that source.
Really?
Yeah. That's how this Gunk one works. It goes right through there. Anything that's a manifold, that's vacuum, and you want to go manifold vacuum, preferably. So, you know, not all cars, like my Toyota, believe it, I want to put a vacuum gauge in it. It doesn't have any vacuum fittings on it. I have to drill and tap a fitting into the into the thing, which I'll do, but many cars do. No, they do have fittings that you can use temporarily. And the brake booster is one of them. It's perfect.
you just got lucky, I guess. Huh?
Well, yeah, and the Toyota doesn't use a... actually, Matt Cobain Bryan, I had him ask his Toyota mechanics at the dealership. And they said, yeah, use the brake booster hose. Well, the FJ doesn't have a brake booster. It's got like a hydrovac, you know, a hydro... So, like, they didn't even know. So,
jeez. Okay, I know you're coming up on the, hard afternoon.
Yep.
But thank you guys for the information. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. I'm going to look into this as soon as the show's over.
All right, Mark.
Okay, keep in touch. Good luck. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, that's, I hate it when you have those reoccurring problems. They will definitely ruin your day.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. Did you want to take that, or do you want to talk real quick?
Let's see if we can do it real fast. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Make it quick.
I sure will. Thanks for the show. Shout out to Joe D. We love him. It's Tom from Massapequa.
Hey, Tom.
Quick question, guys.
Sure, Tom.
The part that Ray, Chris, subbed out, when you looked up the right price for the Mazda part versus the GM part or vice versa, what's the real difference on the list price of those parts? I'm just curious about that.
No, that's actually good. The part I bought was someone must have had an extra one and was just looking to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And those are the best type of people I like to deal with.
Right.
But the part was retailing for about $100 overall.
Yeah.
And
but that was as a GM part, right?
Right. Correct.
Yes.
How much is it as a Mazda part?
You know what? That's a really good question. I don't know.
I'd be curious about that.
Yeah.
But thanks, Joe D, for all your help.
Yep, he came through again.
Always. Joe D is the cornerstone of this fine establishment.
Yeah,
you know that.
Exactly.
And I wanted to ask, those sunroofs open, like on those cars, the panoramic things and the sunroof, and they open? They're not just an
I don't
launch,
think the panoramic ones, though.
There's actually one that, I'm trying to think, I think it was the Germans had a way of doing
where does it go?
Open one pane.
They one pane, one right. Pane. There's one panel, yes.
That's it. It's like a three panel or two panel.
That's correct. Because they can overlap. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's what they do.
But all right,
yeah.
Tom, get out of the hurricane.
Yeah, thank you. Bye, guys.
All right, bye. It sounds bye-bye, like he's Tom. Doing weather down for like News 12 or something.
I think he built that phone himself. yeah, I've actually been chasing real fast. I've been chasing that PO507 code on the tracker, and I changing that part didn't fix the problem, which I didn't think it was going to do, but I figured I'd give it a shot anyway. So what I'm doing is I'm actually in the process of building a smoke machine.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I've seen smoke machines online for like $180, $300. I'm like, I'm not going to spend that kind of money. So I found, of course, you know, the Google experts were able to build a smoke machine, and we'll get into that
next week.
There's
a very popular video to build a $20 smoke machine.
That's exactly. I think I've seen that.
I have seen it. Yes,
and I got a pickle jar, and it's all ready to go.
There you go. Cool.
And I'm going to do it. So, and I want to
take
see
pictures.
If I can find a, huh?
Take pictures. We'll put them up. We'll post them up on social media
yes,
so people can see.
I will
see.
Do that because it's come down to now a vacuum leak. It's got to be a vacuum leak,
right.
And there's only one way to figure that out.
That's the best way.
And that's what like Joe D says, like you say, pushing smoke through it.
Right.
So I'm going to give that. I'm going to give it. It's going to be my first time for me. Smoking.
Exactly.
My yeah. first. I'm going to get out of the playground. And
well, Dougie at the UD said if you ever wanted to come down, they have a smoke machine at the UD. They said Chris is free to come and use it. And
thank you. Thank you, Dougie. I totally appreciate it. Yeah, let me see if I can get this this car out of the garage first before I can get it down to the UD.
All right, but for now, we're going to get out of here because Kim is in, and we'll be back next week with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. Chris, what did we say to the people out in the parking lot who are going to find me when I leave?
Don't follow us home, and make sure your skid plate is clean.
You got it. All right, I'm driving a Fiat, so I'm going to have to skid around them today.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
You are the skid plate.
Right. See you next week. 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
See ya, bye.